Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A main, no lanes on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A main, no lanes on the track when we.
And this pick, this is an A game.
Yeah. Hey now, it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD by Godelieve. How you doing, JD?
I'm in a good mood, man. It's been a week that I think a lot of people go, man, that's a terrible week. And I'm like, no, man, this is a great week. Things could be so much better, or so much worse, I should say. Like, things are good. Like, everyone always focuses on, oh, well, this kind of bad thing happened to me. It's like, no, man, this kind of bad thing is just like something that could have been so much worse. When you're alive and everyone's happy and smiling, dude, things are great. How are you?
Man, I'm fucking dog tired. I already broke the rule. I already used the F word.
Sorry, yeah, man.
YouTube algorithm. Sorry.
Do as I say, don't do as I do, Mike Gilbert.
Yeah, and I've been getting up real early. I've been playing War the last 2 days. We've been out at like a war zone, doing exercises, that's like where I'm in my element. So that's been real fun. So, I've been a good couple of days, but I am dog tired. I am on a lot of caffeine. I'm not thinking straight. I'm already cussing. Should be a fun show. I don't even have a format for tonight. I don't like, cause I didn't even think of like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to create a thumbnail and get the stream going. I thought of it like an hour ago.
Damn, kayfabe, brother, kayfabe. We gotta tell people that we're unprepared. Well, I got something to show off. I showed this up to the Patreon crowd, but I don't know how many people have gotten to see our sweet ass. I think the best Patreon we've ever did, right? Yeah. I think where they live was like the coolest thing we've ever done. I haven't heard much response to it yet, but I know between you and me, I thought we had a freaking blast doing it. So hey, I showed this up.
Darren loved it, by the way.
Yeah. That means a lot because you know our boy Daza is a movie nut. So for him to sit there and say you guys nailed it means the freaking world to me. So I know we did a good job, and that's something we should do again. Like, tell us, man, what other wrestling tangent, wrestling related, wrestling. There's a word I'm looking for that I can't seem to find. I am also
wrestling affiliated, wrestling related,
adjacent. Adjacent. There we go.
Yeah, there's a ton of movies that we could do. I don't have anything like off the top of my head, but if it becomes like relevant, you know, what's crazy is I posted the link again yesterday because it was Piper's birthday yesterday.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I didn't even put it together. Like, we watched They Live and it was 2 days before Piper's birthday. I'm like, damn it, I wish we'd have known.
Yeah, we would have made a thing about that. I guess it was I guess subconsciously, maybe we just knew that and it just kind of worked out that way because we're nerds. We love that stuff. But I showed this off on the Patreon. I haven't shown it off on the regular show yet.
Yeah.
I got the proof of Gaijin, my new book. It's, as you can say, as you can see right here, you know, not for resale. This is the test copy, right? To make sure that it all there. So you can see book is finished, book is done. all, how many pages did we figure out this was last week? It was 380 pages.
Yeah, 380 bills pages on that deal.
Yeah. I got to make some adjustments to the cover. My name's a little too low. It's a little too close to the edge. I had to move it up. Got to move this down a little bit. Got to tweak some stuff. That's why they send this out to you. So they say, are you happy with this? And you can look at it and go, no, I'm not happy with this. I want to make changes. But it's good to do that so you get tested. But anyway, you guys can see the book is done. We're launching that Kickstarter on May 6th. I'm going to sell a ton. I'm going to hit my camera is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell a ton of books, and I'm going to sell a ton of books about wrestling. And I'm really stoked to get people to read this thing. So, man, I'm excited. I got to guest on our buddy Scott's Ring Post Radio show on Sunday and talk a little bit about
it. With Scott E. On what it's called, Ring Post Radio. That's what it's called. Yeah,
Ring Post Radio.
That's a pretty legit show. I dig that crew. I've done that show before too. It's pretty awesome.
They're good. So, Ryan and Scotty, they got good stuff. Got to talk about the New Japan show. Had a blast at it last week with my kid. My kid is officially a New Japan fan. Like, he was rocking around wearing his New Japan shirts. We bought the grab bag. He's got his Shingo Tagaki shorts that he wore for like 3 straight days. So I mean, he had a blast. But I'll tell you something, Mike, from Mr. Bracer Impact, you know who my kid is not a fan of? And I agree with him.
Yeah, go ahead and spill it on here, because I was actually surprised to hear this.
My kid, so he doesn't know, he only knew like by heart, he knew all the AEW guys, and the only New Japan guy that he like loves is Ishii. He loves Tomohiro Ishii, because when we went to Dynamite in Chicago a year ago, like not Thanksgiving 22, but Thanksgiving 21, we watched Chris Jericho versus Ishii, and he is scarred into his brain. Ishii chopping Chris Jericho and making his chest purple. He talks about it all the time. It's his favorite match. Well, he didn't know Ali and Hiromu, and he was like, Mustafa Ali and Hiromu. And he's like, what about these guys? And I said, well, this should be a good match. These guys should be high flyers. So he was all excited. And about John Muse says JD's son has taste. I know. Yeah. I know Muse would appreciate my kid loving Ishii. But anyway, we're about halfway through the Hiromu Mustafa Ali match, and he looks at me and goes, Dad, this match is boring. And I couldn't argue with him. It was my least favorite match in the show. I thought it sucked, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's funny because I happened to enjoy it, but I also was watching it like at work, you know what I mean? So I was paying attention to it, but there were some times where I had to, like, my attention was going elsewhere. It was probably like during slow parts of the match. I actually enjoyed the match, but if you're there live, you probably have a better like finger on the pulse of what other people thought of it, because I didn't actually hear any other reviews. I did my own review on our channel, and it performed pretty well, but I didn't think it was bad at all. I happened to enjoy Ali's that's the only match I've seen of his in New Japan. I think that was his first match, right, in New Japan. But I've seen some of his stuff. I've seen all of his stuff in TNA, and it's been pretty good.
I got to be honest with you. I was expecting them to do wrestling moves to each other in the match, and it was all shtick. And my 8-year-old isn't down with shtick. He wants to see, especially when I promised him high flyers, he wants to see Mustafa Ali do a 450, which we saw at the very end. But I'll be honest with you, man, this politician gimmick of his fucking sucks. It's WWE bullshit, and it's dumb. It's lame. I don't want that. He's just trying to do the Cody Rhodes paint by numbers career kit and try to win his way back. So maybe someday he can main event WrestleMania. Like, I don't feel like this guy's out here trying to have the best matches he possibly can. I feel like he's just, you know, doing the Tony Storm thing and doing over the top character and not really like putting forth 100% effort. That's how I feel. I haven't liked what I've seen of Mr. Ali since going to the Indies.
Wow, that match really had an effect. Like,
I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
Wow, you must have been really bad in the arena, because I could hear the fans. They were like, they seemed to go crazy for the guy. They seemed to like him.
They were all. I'll be honest with you, man. Hiromu was way more over with that crowd than Ali was.
Well, I think Daryl was probably the most over out of anybody from the match.
Daryl was far and away. To quote Cody Rhodes, the most over guy in your faction is a stuffed animal that you don't own the IP on. So Daryl always been over. But here's the truth. That was a New Japan crowd. That wasn't a Chicago crowd. They did not. They cheered Ali, but Hiromu was way more over because those guys came to see New Japan. They didn't come to see WWE castoffs.
So how did Riddle get over to the live
not
crowd?
Great. Is it,
It didn't seem like he got over great, because I've been waiting for there to be some type of backlash for Riddle, like being in New Japan, like, you know, like, so because like he's, people say he's a bad guy and all that stuff. He's got all those accusations. So I assumed that that there would have been this huge backlash when TNA or when New Japan brought him in, and I haven't really seen it. Like, I mean, I'm sure David Bixenspan has tweeted about it, but he blocks me, so I have not seen the usual suspects go after it. But so, but were there anything like that? Like, people like, oh, like, I don't want to see this guy, or was it just like they don't care about WWE guys?
I don't think they care about WWE guys. There was, it wasn't like he was booed. It wasn't like it was people were like against Riddle. It was, they were very pro Zach, right?
Yeah,
and apathetic to Riddle.
I thought that match was really good.
Why did you?
I thought they had good chemistry. That was the one of the best matches I've seen Riddle have, to be honest.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. I said to my buddy George, who came out for the show, I said Matt Riddle should be the one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling, but he's Matt Riddle and can't get out of his own fucking way. The crowd was into Zach. They loved it when Zach won. He popped, big pop. I don't think anybody expected it to happen. But I mean, like, there's this assumption that when you go into these major cities, people want to see the quote unquote stars. But if you're in Chicago for a New Japan show, they want to see New Japan guys.
Yeah.
Like, they want the New Japan experience. And so, like, a lot of these WWE guys, like, the same thing happened with Nemeth. Nemeth was like over, but nowhere near as over as Ishii was. I'll tell you, he was not happy when my kid is rubbing off. I'm rubbing off my kid so much. when old Nemeth won, my kid's like, Ishii never wins, because that's like his favorite dude. He got mad. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right, buddy. Ishii never wins.
Ishii's one of the great jobbers of all time. I've seen him win maybe five matches. but he gets me into, he sucks me into every match. I was every sucked match. Into that match. Well, especially because, like, you know, Riddle had just lost. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe they're kind of turning course, because I feel like a lot of New Japan fans rejected the idea of these WWE fireds coming over and winning their titles.
Well, did.
Because Riddle beat Tanahashi, and then Nemeth beat Finley, like, right away. And so they already got the belt off of Riddle, and Riddle did not look like he was happy about it, to be honest with you.
Did not.
And so, no, and I assumed that I was like, okay, well, maybe Nemeth is going to drop the title here, especially because he's going to take on Moose this Saturday. At Rebellion, I was like, oh, maybe New Japan just pulled the belt off of him now, so that way their champion isn't doing a job to Moose on pay-per-view. But no, they kept the belt on him, so they must see some value in him still.
I tell you who got really over on Friday night. One Jack Perry was far and away the most overheeled of the night.
Yeah. Well, and he had a lot of supporters too. So it was very, very polarizing. Here's going to be the challenge for him. Get that reaction outside of Chicago. That's going to be a tough thing, because he doesn't have charisma. But hold on, JD, before you kill my argument, they pulled it out of him in Chicago, right? So can it carry it with him elsewhere? But I just see, like, he's just got this dumb look on his face every time I see him. But, like, he was very into it in Chicago. And I was like, fuck, this guy might make some money with this whole, like, you know, CM Punk, you know, pushed me around a little bit. He might be able to make a little bit of money off of that. Poor kid.
I'm going to be honest with you. If we had talked about this a week ago, I would have agreed with you 100%. That dude walked out of that curtain wearing the Chicago flag and ate up those boos. I saw more charisma from Jack Perry in that 20 minutes than I ever saw from him. And he walked into that ring with confidence and with swagger and owned the fucking ring. And he was in there with Shooter, and, you know, Umino's got a ton of charisma. Right. Yeah. Those two guys had that crowd. Like, I think until the Moxley Naito match, that was far and away the most hyped the crowd was. And it was a good crowd, you know, Chicago crowd. We love wrestling. Yeah. But totally, I mean, like, Jack Perry was into it. Now, I don't know how you can grow this from here. I really don't. But if he found something in himself, and I said this to our buddy Jeremy, we have to stop looking at this as Jack Perry was suspended, and we have to think of this as Jack Perry's learning excursion. I truly believe, like, you have to look, he was spent it, but you have to look at it as a learning excursion. Because I think that having watched this and having gone back and looked at some of his stuff, he got better. Like, he learned how to work in different crowds. He's a much more effective heel in the House of Torture than he was doing the, I guess, Hollywood Jack Perry, is the only I can call him. Like, yeah. I don't know how we can, like, capture the scapegoat energy in AEW, but at least from one night, man, he was eating that shit up. And was, like, embracing the role. So like, I felt better about Jack Perry after that show than I felt about him in a long time.
Yeah. I just worry that the whole, you know, I got pushed around by CM Punk. Yeah. I think that's going to have a shelf life. So it's like, okay, can you turn it into long-term business? And we'll see. Like, I'm not saying he won't, right? I'm not predicting he won't. I mean, they're going to give it a shot, but I do see it having a shelf life. So eventually it's got to turn into something bigger and better than just this one isolated night, you know?
I agree with that. I mean, everything's got a shelf life, right?
Yeah.
The people who succeed in professional wrestling, the ones who can grow and evolve. We talked about it last week. That's part of the struggle of Mercedes Moné is she's been struggling to evolve and struggling to grow, right? Like, yeah. She's stuck in the mud. And again, she's hamstrung right now because she hasn't had a match yet. And this is a company where you have to wrestle. So she's been hurting herself. But I mean, like, that's the key is can Jack Perry move forward? And we don't have an answer to that yet.
No, we might find out starting on Sunday. I think he's going to be back in eight. So he's basically went on a 2-month excursion. So it would have been nice to see him show up like 9 months ago. He didn't need to be gone that long, but
yeah, no argument.
I think he showed up in February. I think that's when he came in. Yeah.
That's right.
So before we get started, I gotta get some plugs in.
Again,
head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. And that really helps support the podcast. We just started getting ads on YouTube and we're getting, you know, we're getting some pennies, you know. So some of our videos have netted over $1.
so
yeah, but it really does help us, you know, continue to do this. It helps keep JD and I on the air, because if not, like, our wives will probably tell us we can't do it anymore. It's like, why are you two idiots talking for, you know, an hour and a half every Thursday night, you know? So that would really help us out. We did just drop an exclusive, and we can't put it anywhere. We watched They Live, and I went ahead and uploaded the whole movie with JD and I doing commentary over it. So you kind of just get to watch the movie along with us while we kind of make fun of it. So that was a real fun experience, and we have gotten a little bit of good feedback on that. So go ahead and check that out. This Saturday night, I have already talked it over with the wife. I will be neglecting my family because I'll be watching Rebellion, and then I'll be going live on YouTube right afterwards, and I'll be doing a Rebellion post show, and I'm going to be dropping the link to Patreon subscribers, and that way they can come on. So a lot of you Brace for Impact people, you guys can click that link and join the show. So I'll be doing that, and then hopefully we'll have some type of Dynasty recap early in the week. Next week we'll try to get something like that going for everybody. And if you want to drop a super chat, we have those available, so please drop a super chat. That would really appreciate it. So if you can't be a Patreon member, $5 a month, you can just drop a $2 super chat, so that'd be greatly appreciated. All right, so this is the way we really wanted to start the show. One of the coolest fucking things happened today. So yesterday TNA announces that they're going to do a press conference at a barbecue restaurant in the Palms Casino in Las Vegas. Well, my buddy BQ happens to live like 15 minutes away from the Palms and was off today. And he's like, he goes, dude, he was telling us, he's like, I should go over there and ask a dumb question, but say I'm from your show. I was like, that would fucking rule. That would rule so much. And I was like, dude, you have to do it. But like, I don't think you're actually going to do that. Like, I think, cause I just assumed like in the moment he would like try to ask like a real question, put his podcast over. So what he did is he put both of our podcasts over and he asked a kayfabe question. And I couldn't be more happy that he did this. So if you guys are going to go to a press conference and you want to ask like a Mark question that's embarrassing, you could say that it's from the Mike and JD show. Like, I want that to be like a regular thing, kind of like back in the day when Howard Stern would send centering Don Melendez to go, like, don't be gross, right? Don't ask any perverted questions. Yeah. But if you want to ask an off the wall question that has nothing to do with anything, or if you want to just straight up ask an embarrassing question that like that will get probably Rich and Joe mad at you, you can say it's from our show. Like that, I think that's a good bit. Like, I like that. I sabotage the press conference. So here's BQ. Asking Moose and Ross Foreman made BQ the very last question of the press conference.
So it
closed the show.
And it's a
stinker, right? And so it's so great.
My name is Brian from the Lounge. I'm also representing the Mike and JD show. My question is for the champion. Nick mentioned that he wants to do this on his own. He doesn't want anyone to help. Are you willing to do this without the system? Will you be out there by yourself? Will they be by your side?
You have to watch Saturday Night to get the answers to that.
Look at the look on their faces. Like, what a fucking dork. No, honestly, guys, do you know why that's even better? The first interview you and I ever did for Brace for Impact was with Moose, right?
Yes.
And he kayfabed the shit out of us with when we asked, what did we ask him? We asked him a legitimate, about his contract. He had re-signed. And he goes, I haven't re-signed my contract. They made the two of us look like complete and total idiots.
I know. You know what? And I, like, strategically buttered that hold on. Sorry, YouTube. I buttered this dude up, right? Like, giving him all kinds of compliments. Because that's it. When you're doing an interview and you're talking to someone that's, like, completely full of themselves, you want to, like, talk about how awesome they are, right? To get them to loosen up a little bit. And then you start asking them real questions. So, I was like, okay, I'm going to do, like, what Howard Stern would do, right? And boom, boom. I started buttering it up. And then I was like, hey, what's going on with this contract? And then he just totally lied to us. And then Sean Ross sends me a DM. He's like, dude, he actually did sign. I got it right. Like, he said it on another podcast. I was like, he told the truth to another podcast and lied to us. Like,
what a jerk. Not a half hour later.
Yeah.
Like he just straight up lied to us. So the fact that BQ asked Moose, it made it come full circle, yeah. Man. It made it.
Like, honestly, he straight asked Moose, are you going to cheat during your title match?
He has to heal if he was going to cheat and use interference. Of course he is. Like, honest to God. Okay, here's the thing. I love that you said this because I was going to say it if you weren't. What would make me really happy, because I've expressed my feelings with wrestling media numerous times on this show, is if people are willing to make themselves look stupid for just a brief moment and let us share in that stupidity and say, I'm from the Mike and JD show. I would love it if that became a meme, right?
Yeah.
That would just be, I would love it if you and I were just like the wrestling podcast that like doesn't give a shit. Cause that's kind of what we are anyway.
We're the anti-media. We really are.
Yeah. We're like an anti-podcast. Like we have really carved out a space where Like we have really carved out a space where we're kind of like, apathetic toward real media, and we kind of make jokes about it all the time. So if you want to join in with us and like make fun of wrestling media, like please just ask your stupid questions and tag us, because let's be honest, Mike and I are probably never going to be in one of those rooms ever
if they came to Hawaii, I would probably go, but I'm not leaving my house unless, you know, it's like close. So, you know, get me to drive. And that's why BQ went, because it's like 15 minutes from his house. I do have to say, he had like a legitimate question to ask, but it was somebody else had asked it like ahead of him. And he was like the last one. So everybody else had, now I don't know if anybody else asked any good questions, but he just totally like, he's like, fuck it, I'll just do the Mike and JD line. And he did like a kayfabe question, which was great.
But that's why it's great. It's like our friend Sam, she's like, she busts her ass to be a super journalist, right? She asks good questions. She asked a great question about Nyla with the Tony Khan media call about Nyla Rose in Oklahoma. And it was like really good. Like I wouldn't expect someone like Sam to do it.
Yeah. What was that about?
I missed part of it, but I guess the state of Oklahoma gave them a warning about using Nyla Rose on the show because she's transgender.
It's a work. What are we doing?
I know, but that's the thing. So Sam's like, are you guys going to go back to Oklahoma? Yeah. Tony's like, I don't know. We're going to have to play it by ear. Like, it was like, man, that's a real question. Good job, Sam. Like,
right. Did he plug Dynamite right afterwards?
Of course he did. What was it? He was Tony Khan, of course. But I mean, that's the thing, though. And like, here's why. Okay. I worked for the Nemedes for more than a year. They were really good to me. They paid me great. I have nothing bad to say about Russell Joy, personally.
Yeah.
They haven't put out anything in over a year. They don't do anything anymore. They're not, I don't even know if the site's in operation, but she's on every media call. And I'm not criticizing her for doing her thing. I'm like, why can you get on a media call, but Joe and Rich can't? You and I aren't going to get on. This is why it's a thing. Wrestling companies come to Chicago all the time. Ain't nobody going to let me in the media room. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's kind of like, it's a joke. It's a work in and of itself. So if you want to get in on the work, Mike and I would love to be part of that. Please.
Yeah.
Let us drag you into the mud where we live.
Yeah. I want you guys to go
And I want to do the opposite. You know how we were, because we were very critical of the media and not asking good questions. Now I'm completely the opposite. I want you to go ask bad questions. I just want you to, you know, say you're from our show. Like, mm-hmm. put our show over while you ask bad questions.
Because this is how you do it, man. We're going to ask shitty questions. And eventually we too will get a charcuterie board. Charcuterie board. I can't say it. We'll get one too from WWE. They'll give us a nice little cheese board. And then I can tweet about it and ask some stupid fucking questions. Like, that's like, if you can't beat them, join them. But if you're going to join them, at least let them know how stupid they are. I love this. This is our new gimmick. We're the anti-media.
So thank you, BQ. Go check out BQ. He's actually on YouTube. He's got like 7,000 followers or subscribers on YouTube. It's at -BQ on YouTube. He still does his TNA stuff, but he's actually branched out and he's doing like NWA stuff, and he did like a WrestleMania podcast. So he's actually branched out doing more than just TNA. So, but he still has the TNA lounge going. All right. Before we get to the chat, I do want to do one more story. Not a lot of news for this week, to be honest with you. Slow week, but Kenny Omega, I know a lot of people here, this is the headline story, was playing video games on the internet.
Get out of here.
I guess if you go to his Twitch, like, and he's playing video games, you can ask him questions, and I guess like playing video games gets him to like loosen up and talk. So like if you're a real journalist and you want to get news out of Kenny Omega, go to Kenny Omega's Twitch feed and just ask him while he's playing a video game and he's not paying attention. But he spoke on his involvement in Brawl Out. He said getting CM Punk's dog Larry to safety was paramount to him, so he did that. He tried to dissolve the situation, but he just couldn't. It was just way too chaotic. He said some interesting stuff. I'm not going to play the full 4 minutes, but here you go.
The way that I wanted to go about things wasn't necessarily the way that other people wanted to. It was also the way that other people necessarily didn't want to. And then it was also maybe not the way that the boss wanted to take care of it. And I also thought of myself as a liability because I am... I don't want to say old school. I'm not old school. I've just played a lot of contact sports and I've gotten into jiu-jitsu and boxing and mixed martial arts. I just know that sometimes when you perform or when you fight, when everything's on the line, when you give your heart, when you give your soul towards something, and you're in that moment of high stress or high anxiety, where you've maybe emptied the tank and you're just physically exhausted. That was actually very impressive. A good punish.
Yeah. Good punish.
When in an environment like that, sometimes emotions get the best of you and people will want to throw hands. And in the case, and I'm unfortunately or fortunately a believer of it, I think if it's decided that, hey, this is the best way to solve things and you can shake hands after and move on after, I'm a believer. I'm actually a believer of fighting. I am. And it sounds terrible to say, and which is why, like, don't make me an EVP in 2024. You know, you can't do that.
That's really what I wanted to get to is that line right there. Kenny Omega, he ends up going on to say that him and CM Punk are fine and they have been fine for a long time. And we talked about that on our show. Mm-hmm. Like shortly after it happened, like Kenny Omega was fine with CM Punk the whole time. This was really an issue between the Bucks and CM Punk. And he's kind of more along the lines of CM Punk because he has been played real sports before. And he kind of knows what it's like when testosterone gets a little bit high. Sometimes you just got to throw hands. And then afterwards, you know, just like dudes being dudes, just, you know, call it good afterwards and just go do business, you know? So I thought that was like, I don't want to say he's breaking from the Young Bucks. That's not what he's doing. He's not throwing anybody under the bus, but he is like acknowledging that he is completely fine with CM Punk and he would have been fine no matter what. And he also acknowledges that it's okay to just fight every once in a while if you're, you know, just two dudes being dudes.
I think we downplay that too much, especially, I don't want to say modern society or something that's stupid, but I mean, sometimes guys got to hash it out. We said that on our show numerous times because you and I both tend to, you know, we probably swing more meathead than a lot of our contemporaries. Right. Yeah. And we've both been at the camp of they should talk this out and they should be confrontational, because that's the only way to fix things. And I railed on Tony Khan pretty hard about the fact that he refused to do that and still refuses to do that. And I think that this idea of like being overly legal, and like we've heard from friends of ours that they got some bad legal advice from people, you know, that wound up exacerbating issues and not solving them. Like, I would rather you have a physical altercation that ends quickly and then you can move on, rather than you let bad things fester for, well, years. Right. Yeah. I know we're not, you and I differ from most of our, like I said, we differ from most of our contemporaries in that I grew up playing sports, man. You know, I wrestled, you know, at a pretty high level. And, you know, sometimes you get chirpy. But I mean, like we always say, leave it in the room, leave it in the room, you know. And when you don't leave it in the room, then stuff boils over. Right. And it's not healthy. And like the reality is like, and again, I'm real big on focusing on your emotions and mental health stuff. And like part of sometimes you need to release. And a lot of times men are stupid and like we get physical, and like some guys don't do that, but some guys do. And to, you know, I always let people that kid, they were assaulted, the young bucks were assaulted. I'm like, come on, man, like let's, like, I mean, I know you're not, I know you've never been physical with anything in your life, but I mean, like, shit happens, dude. Like,
yeah, the funny thing is, like, after that, all in footage got revealed last week, how many people were like, Jungle Boy got assaulted by CM Punk. It's like, no, he got pushed and he got his head squeezed. That's not assault, right? I mean, it's not nice, okay? But it's not like Perry was trying to get out of that confrontation, you know? And I'm not saying that Punk was innocent, but he was very much involved in that confrontation. He had a lot to do with that.
He didn't back down.
He didn't back down. He got shoved and he came after CM Punk. We're going to say like Perry assaulted CM Punk's leg when he tried to double it. Come on, stop.
You know what I'm going to say? Good for Jack Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. He gained my respect.
Well, I 100%. Like, again, maybe we're just different, right? Like, you and I grew up playing sports and stuff like that. Like, I truly believe that if you don't, I always talk about this with parents. Like, I said, like, wrestlers, I'm a wrestler. That's my, look, an amateur wrestler. Like, that's my, like, culture, right? You either are or you aren't. You either enjoy the physical contact or you abhor it. And you find out pretty quickly if you're one side or the other. Because some people step on a wrestling mat and they like grab another dude and like, you know, start tussling. And they're like, man, I like this. This is like, it sparks something in you. Or you are repulsed by it. And like, you can't stand the violence. And that's okay too. There's two sides of that. But I think the one side has a hard time understanding where the other is coming from on both sides of the equation. And like, again, it's part of like this talking and communicating thing. Is like neither behavior is abhorrent. It's just different, right? And some guys can fight and like bury it, and some guys cannot. The problem is like never solving the problem, right? And that is what Brawl Out really comes down to. Is the problem was never, to this day, solved.
Yeah, no, it never was. Yeah, look, I have close relatives and good friends of mine, you know, sometimes we got into it playing football or, you know, wrestling in the backyard or, you know, whatever it was like. And then on my football team, there were several fights like during practice and stuff like that, because somebody's trying to go too hard. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Or someone got a perceived cheap shot and they just kind of went after each other, you know. But I couldn't imagine being an NFL coach and like my star quarterback and my cornerback, the defensive back, getting into it and then firing the quarterback, right? It's just not gonna,
right?
It's not gonna. Now, I'm not saying the CM Punk shouldn't have been fired, but I think a real leader, a real head coach would have like had that shit handled pretty quick. It's like,
that's the problem.
We're gonna do this behind closed doors. None of you idiots leak to the media. We're gonna take care of business. You know, we're gonna do it. And then now you guys got to go run gassers after practice for getting into an altercation. And then of course somebody would have got suspended. Like, players get suspended for fighting. Like, Draymond Green got suspended for punching one of his players, and he's back on the team. Well, Warriors are out of the playoffs, but he was back on the team, you know, not that long after. So, not that crazy. I kind of like that I can, because I always felt like Kenny Omega was a bit of an alien. He's like a little bit hard to figure out, and I just never thought that I had anything in common with him. And after hearing him talk, I still think I got, now I'm like, okay, and now I kind of relate to this guy a little bit, you know what I mean? But he's just kind of a weird dude.
Yeah, Kenny is a weird dude, but he tells you he's a weird dude. Like, he's Like, I don't know, I kind of feel a kinship with Kenny Omega because he's an athlete who's also a super nerd, right? So, like, yeah. I always see Kenny and I'm like, dude, that's a guy, I'm cut from that cloth, right? Like, I've always really liked Kenny Omega because he's got that, he's like Bret Hart in that he's got this wicked artistic side to him, but he's also an athlete, like a knockdown, yeah. drag out athlete. And then I could just, I don't know, man, that guy is built differently and I've always respected it. And I'll be honest with you. If one were to go on Kenny Omega's Twitch stream and ask him a stupid question, please say you're from the Mike and JD show. Maybe
yes,
I'll answer.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of the Mike and JD show, thanks everybody for being in the chat. It's time to get to your comments. And then of course, if you want to stop us dead in our tracks or you want to say something stupid, super chat. Hook it up.
Love it. Hook it up, super chat.
Yeah, James L says, "Let's go." This is before the show started. He was in the room before everybody else. John Muse talking about me not having a script for the show. As you guys can tell, I'm just winging it. He said, "Wing it, brother." Hell yeah. Drew 101 said Gilbert tore up the script. I did not tear up a script. I ain't got no script. And then JD is the new member of LAX. More on LAX later, by the way, in my rebellion preview. That's a little teaser. I don't have any inside information. I just, you know, I watch very closely and I come up with ideas. Dobby the Brain is Ali's killed it on the indie so far wherever he goes, and his stuff with TNA has been really good. I agree. I've not watched his indie stuff because I'm not fucking watching indies shows, but I liked his TNA stuff. I have found, and right now he's doing the presidential thing. It's working in TNA, but what works in TNA won't work in New Japan, clearly. Right, you can't do the same gimmick everywhere. Not every gimmick works everywhere. But right now, he's in a feud with Jake Something, and he's trying to enact a law to put limits on the X division because Jake Something's too big. He said, "This is ridiculous. We need limits. We need weight limits. This is ridiculous. Jake Something's too big." I think that's hilarious. So I happen to like Ollie.
That's the heat, brother. It's not about weight limits. It's about no limits. But we need limits. Yeah.
We need limits because Jake is the size of three people. Jake is pretty freaking huge.
Jake's a big dude. No doubt about that.
Yeah, Perry should get the good initial response. Sustaining will be the issue, and there's a split crowd cross dynamic they will have to address. I think it only exists in one city. He's going to show up in St. Louis. St. Louis does not like St. Louis. Probably hates CM Punk because they're Cardinals fans, or they're St. Louis Blues fans. The Rams are. You know, gone, but
for a while now.
Yeah, for a while. But and then IO Production says, "Who's ready for Rebellion and Dynasty?" I think a lot of people are. So it's gonna be a good weekend. And then Drew 101 says TK stood by Nyla, which was to be expected, but his full answer was really good. Well, I'm glad that he did because it's like, come on. You want to talk about real sports? That's a different conversation, and I'm not even going to give an opinion on that because I'm just not educated enough to do that. But when you're talking about pro wrestling, like, who cares, right? Like, don't, like, just shut up when you're dumb Okies. All right, and then Antonio Baker, this one's way over the top. It says, Sid Vicious stabbed Arn Anderson in the 80s. It was 1993, I think, and they still work together, maybe not in the ring, but in the same company. That was way too far, but they hated each other for a long time after that.
That's not true. Sid got fired after that immediately because he tried to kill Arn Anderson with a pair of freaking scissors.
Yeah.
Sid was fired. Okay, Sid was fired immediately, and that they had to rewrite. Sid was supposed to win the title at Starrcade. That year.
And they put Flair in that Flair position.
Wound up being a way better show. But Sid was gone. Sid and Arn didn't work for the same company until 1999 when Sid signed with WCW. So it had been 6 years at that point. And Arn was totally willing to bury the hatchet at that point. It was on they talked to Arn, and they probably wouldn't have re-signed him if that was a problem. So I mean, like, that's way, way different.
Yeah, but again, to his point. Old school values, right? They were able to get over that, and they actually did an angle together later, right?
They did.
So just business is business. So King of the North is in. He said, here to check in and make sure JD hasn't lost his mind. He has. Also, make sure Mike is ready for Moose and Dolph Ziggler. I happen to be interested in that match, but not as like interested as about like 12 other matches happening this weekend, to be honest with you. And then where was Tony Khan's what's up legend question, guys? I think you missed. You need to rewind. We actually got my friend at the TNA presser, and he sabotaged it with a Mark question. Well, hold on. Oh, Big Dre with the $5 super chat. There we go. Do you think TNA sells out the Palms? Okay, I think that's a good question, because I was very tough on TNA on Saturday morning, because at last Saturday they had only sold 550 tickets. Now they're up over, I think they're up over 800, and by the time we get to bell time, they'll be over 1,000. Will they sell it out? Depends on how many they put on for sale. Because Dynasty, you know, they I think they have 6,000 tickets up for sale, but that arena holds like almost 20,000 people, right? So it just depends on how many you put up for sale. So will they sell it out? That I don't know. I don't know how many is for sale. Will they reach what they got in January for Hard to Kill when they were up over 1,600? No, they're not even going to come close. I think they'll get about 1,000 people in there, which is a good number for TNA, but it's about 30% less than what they did in January, so they cannot be happy with that. Right. If you lose about 30% of your audience in a 3-month period, I think part of the reason why they've lost so much is A, they've lost momentum. B, the production sucks. C, they fired Scott D'Amore. And D, they went back to the same place too early. Like, you can't go to that big venue 3 months after you just went there thinking that you're going to sell that many tickets. But I say all that to say, 1,000 tickets for a TNA show is pretty good for TNA's level, where they're at, where they typically do. Because when they used to go to Vegas, they would always go to Sam's Town. Sam's Town was only holding 700 people, right? So they're doing better than what they were before when they would go to Sam's Town, just because they're at a better venue, at a more accessible venue. I think that was a great question. Thank you, Dre. And he's already a Patreon subscriber, so I appreciate you double time. Thank you very much. Man. Yeah, King of the North says absolutely not. King is a whole ass hater of TNA.
Yes, that's why I love him. That's why I love the King.
He said 2K is insane. They're not sniffing. They're not sniffing 2K. You can't even get 2,000 people in that venue, I don't think. So
2,000 people for a non WWE show right now is a hard ask. Like AEW, like it's hard right now when WWE is so hot. It's hard to get people to pay attention to what else is going on in wrestling. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely is. New Japan, and I will say, and I'm not like, this isn't me dissing New Japan. This is just honest. This is just the truth. They sold, 6,000 tickets over the weekend? They had help from AEW, and that was nice. And they put anybody with Jon Moxley in the main event of that show, probably not. If it was another New Japan guy, probably not going to sell as many tickets, right? I think that's fair. But I also am going to give New Japan credit for making the deal to get those people over there, and they were able to sell that many tickets. I don't see them doing that again in a while, you know. Depends on the card. But even AEW is struggling to do over, like JD said. I think like last weekend for Collision was pretty rough, right?
So, hey, I'm going to Collision on Sunday or Saturday, and it's in Peoria, right? Yeah. That's a small market venue, and I don't know what they're going to do. I didn't check WrestleTix. I don't know. I'm super curious to see what, and I've been to that arena before. My buddy used to play arena football down there. It's weird that I'm going to go see a wrestling show there, but hey, we're going to check out how it goes, man. That arena in Chicago, that Wintrust, it holds 10, right? Oh, it maxes out at 10. So they only sold 6, and it was a good crowd, but there were like, you could tell where they weren't selling tickets. You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, so what they do is they tarp it off, mm-hmm. which like, yep. like, look, they're not alone in that. They didn't tarp anything. Nothing. Oh, New Japan doesn't do that.
Mm-mm. Tarps cost money. Empty seats are free.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, New Japan has always been kind of like a sports, like their presentation has been more sports based. Mm-hmm. Cause I remember they did a show in the Cow Palace, and they got 3,000 people in there, and that's a 20,000 seat arena. And they're just like, you guys can see the empty seats. We don't care. Mm-hmm. And they had all the lights on and everything. So, all right, let's get to our Dynasty preview show. Let's go bottom up here. I'll scroll. Oh my gosh. Damn pop up ads. All right. Sorry guys, this is bad radio.
As we told you, we had no plan tonight for the show.
Yeah,
last week was the highest rated Mike and JD show ever, and we will not follow that up this week.
Yo guys, I'm sorry. I've been up since 4 a.m. I'm a little fucking cranky.
And I've been battling a cold all week. It's been tough. And then yesterday, we're doing wartime stuff. They we had to like low crawl 50 yards. And I was like, okay, you have to low crawl 50 yards and you have to go like take care of a patient because I'm in the medical group, right? So you have to go like save a patient's life. And it's a dummy essentially. And so like we're putting like chest tubes in like under fire and we're doing this and people are throwing water balloons at us. I'm like, God damn, I'm trying to low crawl to get to my patient while people are like bombing me with water balloons. It actually turned out to be really fun, but it was a high pressure. And then we had to get what a NATO litter is? So it's a stretcher essentially, but it's like you just carry it, right? And so you like somebody lays on it, you strap them down, and then you have to carry it, kind of like Killer Khan versus Andre the Giant, like one of those things, but it's got handles on the end of it, and it's like for wartime. So we had to like carry that like another 50 yards, and then we had to stop. And then they had us doing like burpees and squats and all kinds of stuff. It was crazy yesterday.
Look, man, I hear what you're saying, but I teach children how to use Photoshop, so I don't want to hear your sad story.
Yeah. Well, look, China, we're ready for you, is all I'm saying. All right, China. All right. AEW's Trios Championships and the Ring of Honor Six. I didn't know that Ring of Honor still had the six man tag team championships, but it's the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn versus Bullet Club Gold. I think this is on the pre show. Who we got in this one?
Who gives a fuck? Like,
I agree.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, almost nothing, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
I end agree. They're merging the titles. They're merging the titles is what it says. Well,
the Acclaimed are so not as hot as they were like 2 years ago. This whole Billy Gunn thing, like there was so many good people in this roster, and I have to watch. Granted, Billy Gunn's in amazing shape for 63. Cannot argue that.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like watching Billy Gunn wrestle in 1999.
Yeah, like, he was never a good wrestler.
No, never. Great shape. But I mean, like, I don't know. This is beneath Jay White. It really, and I'm not even a huge Jay White fan. This whole thing is so awful. I hope the Bullet Club Gold win, and it's just like, whatever, man.
Yeah, King says, trios belts matter as much as Knockouts tag belts. Yeah. You know, at one point in time, it looked like they were ready to focus on it. Like, they had the Elite. I thought they were really going to do something with this trios division, but it's just a nothing. It's a nothing division. I think it's just going to be one of those things. Like, they will create the trio that are ready for the tag titles, like in the moment when they need a match, essentially. Like, okay, well, these three guys aren't doing anything. Now you can challenge for the trios title. Same concept applies in the TNA Knockouts division. They create the tag team whenever they're ready for a challenger.
Well, we have a trios match later in the show with interesting teams, but yet we got this shit going for the titles. It's so weird.
Yeah. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, speaking of which, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. You know, I think they're going to want to put Copeland and Kingston and them over, but you know, if House of Black truly is going to stick around, you know, I think it should be them. I don't know. And we all know that Malakai Black has an issue with his back. He cannot lay on the mat for more than 3 seconds at a time. So it just doesn't work. So, I think I'm going to pick House of Black in this one for that reason alone.
I think that it moves the story further if House of Black continues.
Yeah.
I would like to see Big Brody get the pin over Eddie, quite frankly. I think that's the most interesting thing. And then one of them goes on to challenge Adam. And if it's Brody, yeah, maybe you see a new champ someday. If it's Malakai, who cares?
I think Malakai would lose to Adam Copeland.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, Malakai, man, poor guy, just can't get fired. They fired all those people 2 weeks ago, but Malakai was like, damn it, I'm not one of them.
Remember, and it was funny, we were talking about that our AEW probably new releases. It turned out all those people like had good reasons to be released. Like,
yeah, it was all like reasonable stuff.
Yeah, we heard like, oh, how do you fire the boys? Oh, they don't go to work. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're a real fucking pain in the ass, and they don't want to drive 3 hours to Nashville to fly from Nashville to whatever, Winnipeg or wherever they were going, Ottawa.
Right. So Canadian you don't want to. City. Yeah, you don't want to work? Okay, that's fine. You can go so do something else. I get it.
Yeah, and they exposed all those messages with their HR person. It was like, you guys still look like you're stupid. Like, of course they're going to save $800 a person on you guys. You guys are nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
FTW Championship, Hook versus Chris Jericho. Ugh. Chris Jericho has not looked good in months, man. And their last match was pretty brutal.
Time is undefeated, right?
Yeah.
Chris Jericho has done an amazing job fighting time. And yeah. Time might be winning, and Hook should win this because, like, yeah. I don't know, man. It's not like Jericho is useless and he is anymore, but I mean, at the same time, like, I can't think of a time I've been, and I'm nicer about Chris Jericho than most people, but I mean, like, I just don't feel it anymore.
I think we were pretty big supporters of him. And I think in that whole Houseman thing, I think we sided with him for the most part because there just wasn't any information out. Yeah. Yeah. And so I've loved him for a long time. But this year he's also gotten himself out of shape again. And you know what I mean? I don't like, you know, I'm not trying to fat shame a brother, but you can tell the difference when he's committed and motivated and when he's not. And that kind of looks like he's not committed nor motivated. And he looks like he's kind of a liability in the ring at this point. And there were moments in the last match with Hook, and then hit the matches he's had with the CMLL guys have not been good either. Right. And so there's a consistency issue here. And I think it might be just, we might be either getting time or he needs to go away for a little bit. It looks like he's about to do another heel turn, but he might need to go away for a little bit, get himself right. You know what I mean?
I kind of agree with that. And the problem is AEW is missing so many headliners right now. They really are. We're missing Kenny. We're missing, like, you know, a bunch of guys who could make a difference. And I know they think they need Chris Jericho, but in reality, you got plenty of people on that roster where you don't need Chris Jericho right now. And the one thing he was really good in WWE that he hasn't done a lot here is he would go away and come back and it would be something. I really think if Chris Jericho took 6 months and just got back into shape, both physically and mentally a little bit, I think he'd come back and have one last great run. But I think that he's super stale right now. I think it's time for Chris I don't want him to retire. Like, Antonio Baker's losing time to retire. No, I mean, he's still better. He's still better than the vast majority of the roster. But I mean, like, I think it's time for him to just take a break. Take a break.
AEW International Championship, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. NXT Championship match.
Yeah, kind of. I'll be honest with you. You say that, but that's going to be a sneaky good match.
I mean, these guys are very good. Like, I'll be honest. I've never been a Kyle O'Reilly fan.
Really?
He's good. He kicks out of stuff, you know, and he lets people kick out of his stuff, you know, and they're timed very well. So the kickouts are very well timed. He has some cool moves. I just don't find him to be interesting. And when he was doing Cool Kyle in NXT, I'm like, brother, I hate you. And then every time he's tried to be a singles wrestler, I've lost complete interest in him. And I have no interest in him here in AEW. If Bobby Fish comes back and Red Dragon is back, then count me in. But Kyle O'Reilly on his own, he bores me to tears. I'm just not interested in him. But like I said, look, they're going to kick out of some stuff. And that's going to be cool. And the Excalibur is going to go, oh, we almost had it. Thank you, Excalibur, you asshole.
Mike just repeated my Mustafa Ali rant in terms of Kyle O'Reilly. That's the exact thing I said about that guy. So, yeah, to each their own. We'll see some submission holds and some backbreakers. It's, I don't know, if you're a work rate mark like I am, this is the match for you. And I'm okay if that's what the international title is. If it's just going to be the work rate title, I got no qualms with that.
Yeah. Yep, but I think Roddy wins because he just got the belt. So unless you're going to do a hot potato situation, but I don't see any value in putting the title over on O'Reilly and that group that's dead in the water. What is even the name of that group that they're in?
The Undisputed Kingdom.
The Undisputed Kingdom, that's right. They could use a belt.
They have several. Yeah.
Well, they have the Ring of Honor tag titles. I don't know.
They have belts. I didn't say they were valuable belts. I just said they were belts.
TBS Championship, speaking of not valuable, Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. I mean, it's time to crown Willow, isn't it? I mean, she's got the match coming up with Mercedes.
Julia's hurt, right? She's done a great job. Like, boy, of all their young talents, she got over. Like, she is the only person I've ever seen do the Jimmy Jacobs spooky shit effectively. And get over with it, right? Mm-hmm. to the point where I don't get violently angry when she's on the television. I don't pull a Taylor Wilde and start cursing at the director. She's actually pretty good at doing the Stevie Nicks thing, and she got a lot better, right? Like, she improved. She was the only person, I'll still say she's the only person in the Varsity Blondes worth a shit. Like, but
she was in the Varsity Blondes. Like,
varsity blonde.
That. Yeah. she escaped that. She, like, good for her.
Yeah, moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, because Pillman went to NXT. What happened to the other kid? Like, is he even around?
Ring of Honor. He's in Ring of Honor.
Nobody actually watches Ring of Honor. That's not a real thing. Like, nobody.
I don't watch Ring of Honor. Show.
Yeah.
It is a real show because I've seen the tapings. I go potty during the tapings when I'm over there. You tell I have a little kid that I take to the shows with me. I just said potty. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, Julia. No, it's time for her to lose it. Willow's super over. Willow might be legit. Willow's one of the most over baby faces on the whole goddamn roster.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, she's really good. And they're setting her up for Mercedes, right? So, and I hope Mercedes turns heel because she sucks as a baby face. She really does. Yes. She's not good. She's not good. They got a lemon with that one. All right. AEW Continental. God, they got a lot of titles. AEW Continental Championship. Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. Could be fighting for match of the night, man. Obviously, Okada's going to win this thing. If not, then Tony needs to sell the company. But yeah, Okada over Pac. But this should be great, right?
Yeah, great. This title isn't really a title. This is just accents for Okada for the next year.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. Okada's going to beat everybody. They're going to do the Continental Classic. Okada's going to get a bye to the finals, and he's going to beat the shit out of whoever wins that thing. This is just Okada. This just is something for Okada to do until they're in the tie, until he's ready to beat the champ.
Yeah, hold on. King of the North. TNA review guy says nobody watches Ring of Honor. More people watch TNA than watch Ring of Honor.
He's right.
I guarantee it. Yeah, no, TNA doesn't get a lot of viewership. Gets a lot more than Ring of Honor does. Because I can't name all people that have that app.
Ring of Honor does not have 100,000 subscribers. Tony would be
now. Can Ring of Honor sell more tickets? Well, yeah. When you load it up with AEW guys and it's being promoted on AEW television for WrestleMania weekend, of course they can. But you know, Ring of Honor on its own, cool, give me a break.
Right. I have no argument to that, sir. I can see that.
Well, I'm talking about modern Ring of Honor, but for a long time, way more people watched Ring of Honor because it was on Sinclair, and a lot of people would come on at like 1 a.m. and like you just leave your TV on after Walker Texas Ranger reruns, and then there's Ring of Honor coming on.
that's how they get ready. That's a true story.
Yeah. AEW Tag Team Championship, Young Bucks, this is the ladder match, will be taking on FTR. I think this is the spot where we see Jack Perry come back, which means, you know, Young Bucks got to take this one, right?
Yeah, I am perfectly fine with these two going back and forth for the rest of their careers. I know it's going to make Jim Cornette angry because FTR might have to lose once in a while, but it's better right now for the story if the Bucks win. And dude, these two teams have great chemistry. The Bucks are really good in ladder matches, and they're great at falling off of shit. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, and again, like I said, Okada and Pac might steal the show. This one. You know, we keep forgetting just how good these teams are because, you know, I think the Young Bucks are doing really great heel work, but last week was a bit of a disaster. And then like they have to go in and remind us just how great they are and remind us like who is the team that carried Sting and Darby. It was the Young Bucks, right? Like they were the magicians behind that whole thing. And they're very much like FTR is one of the greatest tag teams of all time. So are the Young Bucks. I think they're just going to kill it. This is going to be great.
After last week's disaster, don't you think these four guys are going to be motivated to change the narrative?
Yes. And to get people to forget about how much of a disaster that was.
That's what I'm saying. Change the narrative.
Yeah. 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 So, they're going to be coming out hot. I think the Young Bucks take it, though.
Yeah, I agree.
AEW Women's Championship, Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. This one might be rough. Thunder Rosa has not looked good since she's returned, and you never know what Toni Storm you're gonna get. Are you gonna get, you know, over the top Hiromu with Daryl Toni Storm, or are you gonna get like Toni Storm from Stardom who can go in there and kick some ass? You know what I mean?
What a great comparison. She is totally like Hiromu in this company. I can totally see that. Like, I have never been less interested in an AEW women's title match, and I like Toni Storm, but like it's too much shtick. And like, if she could just wrestle like Toni, if she could do the shtick and then just wrestle like Toni Storm, like we saw a couple weeks ago, it'd be fine. But she doesn't. She's got to do the spiel all the time, and it just I'm just kind of over it, man. And I don't think Thunder's not good anymore. Like,
no,
she's not. Look, I get why they're doing this. Makes perfect sense, right? Like, they never had the match. Like, I get why they're doing it, but it's not gonna be good.
It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a tough one. Oh, King of the North has a good question. You're referring back to the tag title match. Do the Guns show up after this match? You know what? I think because the Jack Perry thing is probably gonna, you know, be where they go. I could see the Guns being, no matter who wins, I could see the Guns being lined up as the next challengers. Absolutely. I mean, the rumors are that they're about to sign or have already signed. They had their final match on TNA tonight, so.
I would expect the Guns to show up on this show. I don't think, because you're right, they're going to make this about Jack Perry. Yeah. So I think the Guns show up, but they don't interfere or anything like that. Like, I think you might do the Tony Schiavone, please welcome our new assignees, and then you hear Motor City. I have to hear that in AEW ring. I just have to. I love that theme song so much.
Yeah, no, but that's a good shot. I actually, they were one of my stories I wanted to get to today, and I just obviously didn't do a format. So, hold on. IO says they're booked April 20. That is right. That is how they're booked on April 21st in Toronto. But if they sign with AEW, Tony Khan can get them to cancel that booking, and that happens a lot. But that's how we discovered, us TNA fans, we discovered that, like, hey, maybe something's going on with the Guns, because they were announced for like Destiny Wrestling or Smash Wrestling or something like that in Canada on the 21st, and TNA has TV taping that night. And so we're like, what the hell's going on? And then people started digging. It's like, oh, they're leaving. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how this whole thing broke. But I could see them pulling out of that. If Tony Khan needed them, I could see them doing that.
Tony also owns a plane. Tony owns a private jet. They can work their match and get in a jet and fly to St. Louis.
Yeah. Man, fucking so many good matches on this card, dude. It's one of the great cards. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
God damn it. Damn.
Oh,
like,
I love this match. I don't even care who wins. I mean, Will Ospreay is going to win, but God, this is going to rule.
Do you know who wins, Mike? We win. We, the fans, win in this case. Like, I hate that sounds so corny, but it's true. This match is going to be awesome. This is one of those things that if you told me in 2018 that eventually I get to watch Bryan Danielson wrestle Will Ospreay, I'd be like, oh, WWE signed Will Ospreay. That's terrible. Like it's the only way I can see that's ever happening. And it's not that hasn't. Like, we're going to get them just being unbridled and awesome. And I hope Tony Khan has one more final countdown left in that deal, because it would make me happy to hear that coming out with Danielson and Ospreay. It's gonna be fantastic. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Hold on. The chat wants me to answer a question.
Oh,
is that James L says, Mike, what if Deonna turn on Rosa and joins with Tony and the other girl? I think Deonna is poorly cast in AEW. She should be a heel. Think her becoming a heel makes all the sense in the world. And if Tony Storm's going to have a faction, her former best friend, they already have that story. It kind of makes a little bit of sense, although they did just wrestle. And I know that Deonna wrestled Mariah May. So, but that actually kind of makes a little bit of sense to me. Yeah. So
I could see it. I'd be cool with it. Yeah. Deonna's not a good baby face, but I get why they did it at first, because they wanted that match, right? The two had pretty good chemistry. It makes sense. AEW typically typically puts their new signees in babyface roles because people want to cheer them, right? Hey, this is the new person. We want to cheer them. So it made sense. But and if you watch the show, the heel turn coming.
Yeah. And then in the main event, we got Swerve versus Samoa Joe. I've been saying for a long time, Swerve needs to be the champion. I think it's time to crown the dude. Like, the guy's doing the best work of his life.
I agree. It's time. It's time. And then here's what should happen. Swerve wins that title, holds it up, and then Hangman comes with that chain and beats his ass and leaves him in a bloody heap to end the show.
And then we get the finale of the Hangman and Swerve feud, the rivalry. Yeah. So, yeah. But so I'm very much looking forward to the card. If you're going up against Dynasty, like, I think, like, this is like the sleeper card of the year, really. I don't know if it's going to outperform Revolution, but man, it could be a hell of a freaking deal.
AEW pay-per-views typically do not let you down, and this is the one where I'm like, you know what, I am super super excited. I'm going to the go home show at Collision. And we're getting, dude, if Monday was not a school night, I would take the 4-hour drive to St. Louis and go watch this show, but I can't.
St. Louis is a rough drive, man, but.
Oh, that's an easy drive from Chicago, from where I live. Yeah. Piece of cake. Yeah. I can't get home in time to be functional for work the next day.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, guys. JD is going to be here, but he is not paying attention to TNA right now. So this is going to be Mike's preview of Rebellion and JD learning what the card is in real time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the card, so I'm going to make fun of what I don't like. Go for it.
Yeah, hold on. Io says, enjoy the Danielson full-time run while he's still there. Brian putting on bangers every month. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And then Cole of the Ledger, Ospreay Danielson, whoever wins, so do we.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
And Izzy says, she, meaning Deanna, would be a great heel. Yeah, and then Io says, a triple threat for Double or Nothing would be my guess. I don't think they go triple threat again. They just did that, yeah. And then Swerve says, or King of the North says, Swerve versus Hangman, hell of a war. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great feuds, like blood feuds in AEW. And then off the top rope, no, says a bunch of 100, like emojis.
Thanks.
100, 100, 100, hand waving, pirate, running man, farting. Thank you.
That's how I read that too. That's like my emoji because I fart. If I tweeted, if you read my tweet last night, I farted so bad my dog left the room.
That's when you know it's bad, when your dog gets pissed at you. And Io says for the women. Oh, okay. Okay. He meant for the triple threat match, not Swerve and Joe. Yeah, he meant for the women. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
All right, so it is a Rebellion. Rebellion of the big four, this is one that kind of gets slept on. They usually kind of have pretty good matches. And the last at Hard to Kill, man, the Palms crowd really showed up, and they showed out. And so I'm hoping that they get plenty of people in there, and I hope they're loud. But in six-man tag action, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a share screen because there's no pop-up ads on this website. Oh. So, and it's got... it's got pictures because it's actually the TNA website. So six-man tag action. We got ABC, Chris, Ace Austin, and Chris Bay, and Leon Slater. If you have not seen Leon Slater, this dude is awesome. Mm-hmm. He is really good. Taking on the Rascals and Myron Reed. I mean, if you're trying to get people excited for your show, I think that's a hell of a way to do it.
Yeah.
Those guys. Yeah. And I think the Rascals take it because I think ABC is breaking up here pretty soon. So, but that should be a hell of a match.
It's about time. I like Myron Reed. I like Leon Slater. It's going to be a spotterific six man, which I love. So cool.
Yeah. And then we go digital media title, Crazy Steve versus Laredo Kid. My answer to this is who gives a shit? But I think Crazy Steve's on his way out. They got tapings coming up and he's asking people for other bookings. So I think he's on his way out. And they actually did an interview with Laredo Kid for the first time. He's been there for like 4 years and I don't think he's won a match. So it's time for him to win a singles match for the first time. So he's getting a title shot. Yeah.
I was going to say, you're actually going to tell me Laredo Kid's going to win a match and on pay-per-view on top of that?
Yeah. I think so. I think they're finally going to do something with Laredo Kid. Knockouts World Tag Team Championship match, Spitfire. That's Danny Luna and Jody Threat. And it just got announced that they are actually going to be accompanied to the ring by Lars Fredriksson from Rancid and also from Lars Fredriksson and the Bastards.
Why?
So with Lars being out there, I think Decay's got to lose. So I'm going to go Spitfire on that deal.
Why is Lars Fredriksson scoring to the ring? Like, what am I missing?
I think he had been tweeting about it and like that they're punk rock fans. And I think he might be doing a song for them for like their entrance. Yeah. Oh, and I think he's just friends with Jody Threat.
Fair. So,
yeah. And he goes to the TNA shows when they come to the West Coast. So there's like, you want to escort them? And he's like, yeah.
He big wrestling fan. So, okay, that's cool.
Well, none of that. Like, Lou DeAngeli is best friends with CM Punk and so is Lars Fredriksson. So fair. I think they just have he's just kind of a TNA fan because of that. I think they're always all friends.
Cool.
Oh, dude. Oh, you know what? This reminds me. I did a bad tweet. We got to pull it up. Hold on. Oh. If I'm going to call people out for their bad tweets, I think it's important that I get called out for my bad tweets.
You're interrupting your TNA preview to call yourself out on a bad tweet?
Oh, because it's a doozy, my friend. Oh, it is a doozy. You're gonna love this. Yeah, you're gonna love this. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I stopped share screen. I'll bring it back. Sorry.
Find your tweet first.
Yeah.
Gotta find my tweet. Okay, so TNA announced that DJ Ashba plays the national anthem this Saturday at 8 p.m. at Rebellion. And I said, whose MP3 is he going to play on his computer? Because I thought this guy is a DJ. Because his name's DJ Ashba. As it turns out, he was the guitar player for Guns N' Roses. And his name just happens to be DJ. Like, I forgot that people actually have that as, like, a real name, DJ.
Well, who are you talking to?
JD, yeah. But yours is JD. Like I assume a musician, when they're called DJ and some stupid name after that, that they just play music on their computer and people point at them as they dance dumb, stupidly. Stupid college-age white kids, okay? But I got a bunch of people correcting me. To include my cousin, who is a Guns N' Roses super fan, Joe, he's like, dude, he replaced totally brain dead right now.
Did he replace Slash?
He replaced Slash. Yeah, he replaced, like, I think, like, Buckethead was a good, and this guy played.
It was Slash, then Buckethead, and I think Slash came back for a brief period.
Slash is back now, but this guy was in the band at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like let's be honest. He's in Guns N' Roses, but it's like, you know.
No. It's he's like, going to play the guitar. But honestly, if he were a DJ, like an actual DJ, that joke is awesome. Okay.
Because
DJs are not musicians. They just play music on their computer. Okay. They're all idiots, all of them.
That's like saying Dave Navarro was in the Chili. Yeah, Dave Navarro was in the Chili Peppers for a while, but like not the good version of the Chili Peppers. Like,
he was in the Chili Peppers for one album. Okay, and it was not. He's a Jane's Addiction guy. Yeah.
That is hilarious, Mike.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, look, one of my best bad tweets of all time. So.
Oh, legendary.
Yeah. And so they have a thing going on. Who will show up? Lights out. They did a whole vignette. They're going to have a big surprise. I brought up LAX earlier because I think the they did a vignette and it's like, it kind of looked like a Bray Wyatt-y type of thing. So naturally made me think that it was Matt Hardy, but it could be a swerve and it might end up being Santana. And I think if they're going to bring Santana back, they need to bring back LAX and have him be the leader of LAX. And I think that would work.
Who do you put in LAX then?
You can't do Ortiz, but I'm sure he has other friends, right? And he works Puerto Rico all the time, and he works AAA all the time. They could get somebody. I'm not suggesting Laredo Kid, but they could get I would like to see them bring in somebody like new, because I think that's the cool thing about LAX. When Conan came in and they brought Hernandez and Homicide. I know Homicide had some Ring of Honor stuff under his belt for the most part to a big audience. He was relatively unknown. I kind of like that part of LAX, like learning about new people. So I think that would be cool. If they did somebody new, or it could be Broken Matt. And I've been saying for weeks that if Matt Hardy's going to come back and he wants to do his Broken Matt shtick, the only place he can do it and kind of get away with it that might like appreciate it would be TNA, because that's where it started. And I think that would be kind of a, you know, and he didn't have to stay around for very long. He can do it for 6 months. He can go back to, you know, go get a producer gig. But if he wants to do that, I think that would work. Io says Danny Limelight and Slice Boogie is who I can think of. I've seen those names tossed around.
Okay. So Danny Limelight and Slice Boogie were in the MLW knockoff version of the 5150, I think they called themselves, and it didn't work out very well. Has Danny Limelight been working? I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Last I saw, he was doing like stuff on like OnlyFans.
Well, that's kind of in trouble. I heard is Danny Limelight burnt a lot of bridges, and I cannot remember the last time I saw Danny Limelight's name floated around.
Hey, remember when you got in trouble by Court Bauer?
Oh my God,
because they changed Danny Limelight's name to something.
Daniel Rivera. And I said,
Daniel Rivera.
On the MLW, I RT'd the MLW account. I said, he's Danny Limelight everywhere else, but MLW got to be different. And Court felt the need, because Court does not like me, the need to say this was a change that he wanted. And I said, then why is he Danny Limelight everywhere else?
Right.
I believe I got blocked shortly after that.
yes, you did. And then we got the tagline on this match. TNA, you guys got to do better than this. Former friends. Joe Hendry versus Rich Swann with a Dollar General in his corner. I don't care. I think Swan's going to win this because they're going to push Swann as a heel now. So
should.
Yeah. Full Metal Mayhem. This should be awesome. Eric Young versus Kazarian. This probably could end up being match of the night because these guys are going to, you know, these guys can really freaking go. And other than their 40s now, but whenever they get opportunities to shine, they do really fucking good. These guys are awesome.
Oh, let's not talk shit on people in their 40s, man. Yeah. Cat's going to win, right? Because EY going to go back to the Fed, right?
That is my suspicion. That is my suspicion because, you know, I know he left WWE. He signed an NDA on his way out, and he said the only reason he left is because he refused to work for Vince, and Vince is gone. He's a Triple H guy, and Sanity's back together out there on the indies. I think, you know, we just saw Sean Spears. What's his name? Perfect Sean 10, Spears. Ty Dillinger just returned to NXT.
No, he's Sean Spears.
He's Sean Spears in NXT? Mm-hmm. I thought he was he's not Ty Dillinger there?
No, he's been Sean Spears.
Oh, really? Okay, I have not watched NXT in a while. So, but I could see Triple H and Shawn Michaels kind of like wanting to bring back people from like the glory days of NXT whenever they make the move to CW. I could just see that. So,
sure.
Yeah. World Tag Team titles. The System takes on Speedball Mountain. Probably going to be a good match. I just don't think anybody's going to care about it because Speedball Mountain happens to be the worst name of a tag team I've ever heard. And all Trent Seven does since he's been in TNA is lose, which I happen to approve of. I think that's a good place for him just to lose matches. So, but I think System takes that one pretty well, easy.
Sure.
Yeah, and JD's match of the night, Mustafa Ali, the president of all things wrestling from Chicago, apparently, takes on Jake Something. I think this match is going to be awesome. Jake Something rules.
I love Jake Something, but yeah. Mustafa Ali is going to ruin it by doing shtick because apparently he wants to be a shtick guy now because he's got to impress Triple H, got to get that job back.
He did that with Hiromu Takahashi and Daryl. He has not done that since he's been in TNA. Like his match with Chris Sabin last month was awesome.
Those fucking promos,
and Sabin tore it down.
Because Chris Sabin,
he
awesome.
Ruined your night. Yeah,
Chris Sabin is. Awesome. Chris Sabin doesn't have bad matches. He's not capable of somewhere. Sam's listening to it and thinking about his abs, and she's right.
No, Sam likes his nips.
Nips. That's what it was. Was the nips? It wasn't the abs. I forgot. I'm no judge on a man's nipples, so I'll just take her word for it. No, Mustafa Ali can go back to WWE. Bores me.
Next match, last man standing match. Josh Alexander versus Hammerstone. This is my favorite feud in TNA, and it's been my favorite feud in a while. Hammerstone has brought back the torture rack. I know Will Hobbs is doing it. I'm doing it too. I think I like it on Hammerstone just because he kind of like resembles like Lex Luger because he's so shredded. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he actually beat down Alexander last time, took his headgear. And now he goes to the arena and he will put the headgear on somebody, beat them up, and put them in the torture rack. He did it to he actually was able, like, the greatest feat of strength I've ever seen in pro wrestling was just last week when Hammerstone put the headgear on Tommy Dreamer and they got Tommy Dreamer up in the torture rack.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's
like,
impressive.
Like, okay, this brother's legit. And then he just did it tonight to Little Guido. Little Guido's back.
That is impressive.
No, but he brought back FBI.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. not Tracy's, obviously not Tracy Smothers, but not Tommy Rich either or Tony Mamaluke. But at IO in the chat, so it's Zach Clayton, who was on AEW for a little bit, who is like he's one of the guys from the reality show.
No, isn't Zach Clayton, wasn't he one of Tony D's family in NXT?
You're thinking of Tony Dimebags or something like that. I think that's who you're thinking of.
No, the one that got fired. I thought that was because they had the one guy like Tony, like Stack Snacks or something like that. Like the one that got fired. Wasn't that Zach Clayton, right?
I don't know. Let me see. So, but the other guy I wanted to talk to you about because he is actually apparently like a high level wrestler. I'm about to pull up his name. I can't. So Zach Clayton's the one guy. And then the other guy is Real J Raz. Jay has an amateur background. He's been with Little Guido since 2022. I'm trying to pull up his credentials here.
but I can't seem to pull him up.
I assume that's working.
Mentor coach, NCAA All-American, NYU grad, pro wrestler, FBI, Ray Jazz. So, yeah, you probably, I mean, I just assume you know every amateur wrestler, but you might not know this one.
Where'd he go?
Oh, yeah. Ray Jazz and Zach Clayton. Zach Clayton's famously married to Jay Wow. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Where did this guy go to college?
I don't know where he went to college. I just went up to his Twitter and I just couldn't find it. So
he said he was an All-American. He graduated from NYU. Because that means NYU. York, yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. D3 kid. Okay. Yeah.
D3. Yeah. Okay. Next you got Jordan Grace and Steph DeLander. She was coming out with Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona tore his pec, and Matt Cardona was actually booked for the tapings after Rebellion, but looks like he's going to be out for a while. Yeah, tough break for him.
Is Steph still okay? This is a legit question because I've never watched her wrestle. Is she any good?
She's okay. She's not great. No, she's fine. But she does that same the deathmatch gimmick that Matt Cardona does.
So Jordan will carry her. You think something good?
I think Jordan will get a good match out of her. Yeah. Yeah. BQ calls her Steph Double D Lander, which I think is hilarious. Yeah, I think that's a great nickname. Yeah. But I think Jordan wins this one. I don't think it's time to take it off Jordan. And then we get to the main event. World champion Moose, our favorite, versus Ziggy Dolphin himself, Nick Nemeth. And you know, I was gonna say that Moose should keep the title because they just started this whole deal with Moose. They just got the faction going. I happen to like Moose. I know a lot of people don't. Okay. I get it. A lot of people don't like the system. I personally happen to like the system because I'm a fan of Eddie Edwards. And Brian Myers has grown on me over the years as like an in-ring performer. Okay. It has not worked. It just hasn't. So, and we have to acknowledge when something's not working. Ratings have completely plummeted. I know some of that has to do with the instability of the company, Scott D'Amore, you know, getting fired. And then the production has been atrocious. But the guy at the top is Moose. He's been the world champion, and numbers have just dwindled since he's been the champion. And you have to take notice of that. So if they got dates on Nick Nemeth for a while, I would say it's probably time to put the belt on Nick Nemeth. I think Moose keeps it, but I think it might be time for Nick Nemeth to be the champion here.
Define plummeted. Where are the ratings at right now for TNA?
I think last week they were like 85.
Oh, 85, yeah. 000. That's a big drop.
And so they're usually up into the ones, you know, one over 100,000. But I think not only them taking, like, obviously taking the fourth quarter off last year, they never really regained the television audience. Let's be honest, that Hard to Kill number that they got that broke the record, that was a social media campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It legitimately was. And that's why I've been saying for a couple months now that it is time for TNA. Like, they can keep their show on Access, but it's time to just put the show on YouTube for free. Right. And just do it like live on YouTube, the same way they used to do it on Twitch. And I think that's going to grow their audience. But none of it's going to matter if they don't fix the production because, you know, they're still having the same issues that they had when you and I did Brace for Impact together. And at times it looks worse. So they can't get out of their own way.
I remember in October of last year, we said, well, never forget this. He said, TNA is going to Impact. I was going to significantly invest in their production and make big strides. And I said, Mike, that's not going to happen because like they would just do it. Like you wouldn't make your show look worse and then make it look better. And I was right. And I will keep saying that until I'm proven wrong. I don't care who wins this match. I don't like Nick Nemeth. That goes back to 2000.
Yeah. That's not like a pro wrestling thing. That's a Kent State thing.
Fuck Kent State. Yeah. 44 years old. I must say it till the day I die.
Yeah.
That being said, everything you said makes complete and total sense. He's the New Japan Global Heavyweight Champion. Yep. Speaking of a company that has too many belts. So, yeah. I don't know. It would make sense to put it on him. He's got that former WWE stuff, and that actually does tend to help TNA. Doesn't help anywhere else, but it tends to help TNA when former WWE guys jump over there. And it's tradition. New guy leaves WWE, goes TNA, put the title on him. That's what we do.
Yeah, you know, and people hate that tradition, and I get it.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
It depends on the person in this sense. I think it makes sense. Unless Nemeth isn't staying around, then you obviously don't want to do that. I did hear a rumor a couple weeks ago that Nemeth might be heading to AEW. I don't know how far fetched that is, but look, nobody likes signing WWE talent more than Tony Khan. Like he just signed Carlos Cabrera. And I saw a bunch of non-Spanish speaking people saying this is one of the great hires of all time.
Yeah, right? How do you know?
They just, I exactly.
right? And look, they hired Jennifer Pepperman, and people were like, oh, this is a great hire. You don't fucking know who Jennifer Pepperman is, right?
So like, all I know is if she's responsible for the Mercedes stuff, it's not a great hire.
Yeah, and so I could see Nemeth with Johnny TV and Taya doing stuff on YouTube. I could see it. I'm perfect, you know what I mean? But I just heard around the way that AEW might be interested.
God.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go to the chat and then we're gonna close it up here. I know JD has gotta get to bed, and my kid wants to play. So we got the AEW Fight Forever game. And
how is it?
It sucks. It really is terrible. But I'm not a gamer. I just bought my Switch like 3 weeks ago, and all we've played is Mario Kart. But my daughter saw the wrestling game. She's like, I want to play a wrestling game with you, Daddy. And I went, and it was like $20, and I had two $10 off like coupons. So I got it for free.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, that makes sense. So I got it for free at the Navy Exchange, just off the base here. And it's fun to play with my daughter, and I just let her beat me up, so she wants to play.
So you're telling me these dudes took 4 years to make a bad video game?
They did. They absolutely did. Wow. And not a lot of people want to say that because they love AEW. I think it's time to have an adult conversation about two things right now going on with AEW. Fight Forever sucks. It's not a good game. And Mercedes Moné might not be that good. we have to wait till she gets in the ring. But we might have to come to the realization that Tony Khan spent a lot of money he ain't never going to get back. So, all right. So let's see. Let's go to the chat, and then we're going to close it out. ECW Hardcore 07 says, random match to watch Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher. I don't know where that came from, my friend, but thank you for that suggestion. I remember watching some old Necro Butcher back on the early days of YouTube. He was like a popular guy. Yeah, and he was in the Wrestler. I remember that. And then he said, "Rebellion looks mid." Yeah, just depends. If you really like TNA, you probably would enjoy the card. But if you're not a TNA fan, you probably just pass this one up. They didn't really do anything to kind of go above and beyond. Richie Matthews says, "James Storm and new member of DCC lights out Mike." Oh. DCC bringing. So, I mean, look, what DCC was: James Storm, Eddie Kingston, and Tama Tonga's brother, right? Who would they call him back then? I can't remember.
Tama Tonga's brother. Like, are we talking about Tangaloa?
Yes.
He was in the other guy in DCC?
I think he was. I think he was Micah.
Was it?
Somebody correct me in the chat. Io, you know this stuff off the top of your head. You know this stuff better than me.
No, Bram. Io says it was Bram. That's right. It was Bram.
Bram, but wasn't Micah in it too? I don't know. I can't remember. They had like TNA, every time they had like a reset, they would introduce a new faction.
That's
so like they did it a lot, and so I just, that one didn't stick around for very long.
It's weird that Eddie Kingston never really felt like Eddie Kingston in his runs in TNA. Like, they did some cool stuff with LAX, but he still didn't quite hit his stride there.
No, they want him to be a manager, and so that's just the way Callis saw him. So Johnny Bean said Hammerstone looks better than Wardlow in AEW.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is better than Wardlow.
Way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Richie said the lights out thing again. It said Moose and Nemeth haven't touched each other in a while, and already they're hyped to expectations. Let's see. Sure. Puff Dutch says, I can't get into TNA. Yeah, you probably don't watch then. probably not enough for you. Io says, no, it was Bram. Okay, so it's Eddie Kingston. It was Bram
and James Storm. I remember that.
But Io, Micah was Tama Tangaloa was in TNA at some point. I remember he was.
Is Tangaloa coming to WWE? Is he going to join the Bloodline too?
I don't think they want him. I don't.
They got Tama Tonga. I mean, like, is Tangaloa worse?
People say what they want. Tama Tonga is way better than Tangaloa, and Tama Tonga is capable when he's motivated to have like to be pretty good.
When not motivated,
it's bad. Yeah, but I think that Hikuleo goes. I don't see Tangaloa going.
I can see Hikuleo. Hikuleo, yeah. He's huge.
Yeah. And then Jason says, "Sup, Mike and JD, how you feel about Jonathan Gresham, new character and vignette?" I really like where they're going with Jonathan Gresham.
Pay attention.
TNA just signed Jonathan Gresham, and they have him doing like
these vignettes kind of reintroducing him. He's been gone for a long time. And so I really dig what they're doing. It's
What's the vibe on Jonathan Gresham?
I think they're kind of bringing him back as kind of like the Octopus in the Foundation version of Jonathan
Gresham. Oh, I like, yeah, that's the best version of him.
Because when he came in, when we were doing the podcast, mm-hmm. and he was the Ring of Honor champion, like that was peak Jonathan Gresham.
Yes,
and I think that his AEW experience broke him. So when he came back to Impact after having that experience where he basically, yeah, I mean, he quit, got fired, whatever you want to say. Like he wasn't the same guy. Like he was there, but there was no like there was nobody behind his eyes. Like he was like dead inside almost. And so now they let him go away and reset himself. So
it's so wild to me that he got asked to put over Claudio Castagnoli and died inside.
Dude, he went over there thinking that he was the man.
He did.
I'm the Ring of Honor champion. You bought this company and I'm the world champion. And he went over there and they're like, dude. More people watch Claudio on WWE main event on YouTube than ever saw you in Ring of Honor, right? You're going to put the belt on him, right? And so, and then he went in there and like, he realized, I was never shit, right? Like that's what he had to like get over there and like get that realization when he got there. And all the Ring of Honor guys had to go through that. He was the only one that got all up in arms about it though, because he was the world champion.
But he like, broke him. He's never been the same. It's been like 2 years. And he's like,
yeah,
it's fucking wild to me. And he's a good wrestler, but he's also 5'4".
Yes. Yes. So, which I think worked to his advantage. Like it made him unique in Ring of Honor that he was so small and stocky, you know, and it was such a really good grappling wrestler. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if that translates into success in TNA. He's only had one good match since in this latest run in TNA. It was against Alex Shelley. And I thought they tore it down. That was the last time we saw him, like back in August of last year.
Actually,
we
haven't seen him since then. So,
yeah. So, but hey, guys, that is gonna do. Man, we almost went We went 90 That's tonight, long. And we didn't have a format. JD, we just rambled for 90. So, hey, everybody, thank you in the chat. I really appreciate you. Please like, make sure you're a subscriber. Please share the show, and if you would be so inclined, join us over on Patreon. I will have an Impact recap. I have not finished the show. I watched a little bit of it earlier today, but I will be recapping Impact this week. I'll be doing it on Saturday morning, and then on Saturday, and that's only for Patreon. And then on Saturday night, I'm going to go live right here on the Mike and JD Show YouTube, and I'm going to be doing a Rebellion recap. And then at some point, we're going to figure out how to talk some Dynasty. So me and JD will work that out. But we're not going to be going on Sunday night because I'm doing Saturday night. I'm not doing two nights in a row because my family is very important to me. So if I have to do something, I might do it like while they're sleeping or something like that.
My job is important to me. I'm going to bed after the show.
Yeah. So we'll try to figure something out, guys. But I really do appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate everybody in the chat. Thank you so much for supporting us, supporting the show, supporting Voices of Wrestling. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track when we.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.